G'day, snappers, and welcome to the Sunday Snap. You're not hearing the dulcet baller baritone tonight. He's yet to recover from the Raiders' tough loss down there in Canberra today. He may have also had an anniversary, so shout out to Mrs. Jono. Joining me tonight for the inaugural finals review Sunday Snap, Supercoach is coach of the Terrace Crew, Matt. G'day, Matt. How you going?
Tubes, this is a real novelty. I don't think in the 4 years we've been on podcast together, I don't think I've ever been the guest and you've been the host. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, no worries. It was a novelty weekend. I don't know about you, but for me, Supercoach played a bit more second fiddle this weekend. It was just so good to have finals back. I'm coming in hot. We're throwing out the run sheet, and we're going to be kicking off with the last game of the round.
Yeah, what a weekend of footy! Like the last two games, particularly Sharks Roosters, and what more can you say? What can we say about that game? I can't wait to talk about it. But yeah, we're recording Sunday night, obviously, so straight after the Raiders Broncos game. What a doozy. But Tubes, you said you took a bit of a back seat. I've just seen on the run sheet what you scored for the weekend. So I'm not surprised.
Oh God. So I've scored a 693. I've started this challenge like I have my whole Supercoach starts to the year and the run home challenge earlier. Just standard. Can't get my captains or vice captains right. It was the most important thing. I captained Nico and vice captained someone else that went no good. Can't remember. Brian Toto. Yeah, so not too bad. But I think that was sort of the killer for me. And how have you gone, Matt?
Yeah, 896, so a bit better. Just looking in the baller league, the baller 3K league, looks like the leader is on 979. Jessica, coach of Dragoffs. So, yeah, I'm kind of in it, I think.
You are. You're right up there.
Yeah.
It's funny because I was going to say sort of a template team, Sid. Well, actually, there's joint leaders, Jason, Dogs of War, 1995, also equal first on 979. Oh, yeah. Bit of a template team, although you've ended up laying Cleary and still had a pretty good score as well.
I've realised later that I should have got Cleary and just not captained him. That would have been the way to go. I just tried to back Hines in. I captained Walsh. So I honestly just never felt comfortable all weekend captaining everyone. I was just like, I'll leave it till the last game and I'll pick. And so I captained Walsh and went Haas. But yeah, it was a very good week for the baller projections. Basically all the top projected scorers did well. If you'd taken the top projection from every position, you'd have scored probably better than me, and as long as you captain Walsh, even if you captain Cleary, but yeah, captaining Walsh was pretty critical, like you said. That's whoever takes out this prize is just going to nail their captains most weeks. Yeah. I would have thought.
Yeah, and it's easy. It's easy to say in hindsight. The safest play probably is usually the best one. In these particular scenarios, Walsh was the absolute must captain just about with the dominant play. But it's funny, he's gone that with a sin bin as well.
Crazy. Surely that's the highest score ever with a sin bin. Got to be.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, so baller projections. So the league's now closed. So if you hadn't joined the league, you're out. And it's now taking out first prize at the end of this final series. So 3 more weeks to go will be 3K for those that are in it at baller.live. But that doesn't mean you can't still sign up and check out the projections, check out the player comparisons, have a look at everything else. What we've also recently set up is a baller Discord.
Yes.
Very exciting. Finally, mate. I feel like you've been touting this for a few months.
Well, at least 6 weeks, I reckon. But yeah, we finally got a big shout to all the guys at Baller as well. I'll shout out Mark Pritvi and Kyle. They did some amazing work behind the scenes to get this up and live. But yeah, we've got about, I don't know, there must be 30 or 40 people have joined already. Some good chat in there. Once we get a few more people in, it'll start really pumping up. But big shout out to all the contributors who have joined as well. Fenno, Realm, Finn. So yeah, it's been great so far, and looking forward to chatting all things Supercoach and rugby league and as we move into cricket season, and a bit of EPL and NFL as well.
Yeah, and shout out Crackers. He was pumped to be in there. We're not going to talk about it tonight, but I'm certainly going to be hot on the NFL chat in that Discord from 3 a.m. tomorrow morning.
You're going to be in there while the games are on tomorrow morning?
I'll have a look. I'm going to be watching on my phone most likely, okay. Still in bed up that early in the morning. But what I was going to say is, yeah, what you need to do to join the Discord, because anyone can join, but you've just got to join baller.live first. So you've got to be a baller, yeah. So you've got to, if you don't have an account, set up an account, you click in through there and it'll verify you as a baller. So it's good too, because it also means that you get rid of any rabbits or riffraff from being in there. It's ballers only.
Cuts the riffraff completely out. Correct.
So that's probably the latest launch. We only launched it on, Friday? So it's just sort of soft launch. Just hot off the press. All right. As I said, we're throwing out a bit of the run sheet this week, so no rage trade, but I do want to talk a little bit of rage. So we're going to call it dud of the week this week, Matt. Who's your dud of the week this week?
My dud of the week, and I messaged everyone while the game was going on, since he's come back from injury, Saviello, hot tamale, has forgotten how to play rugby league. I don't know what that injury has done to him. He can't catch, he can't defend, and he can't play the ball. It's like he's completely forgotten everything about rugby league. He did make one decent play near the end of the game, but yeah, I don't know. What did he score? It was on 3 at halftime. I know that.
He's ended up with a 20. He's outscored Jed Stewart, interestingly enough, in the match.
20, that's a debacle for where, like he was base powering 50 or more mid-season. So yeah, I mean, who knows how he's affected by that injury, but yeah, he's my dud of the week. He was a little pod, I think, this week, but not sure how many took him.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I've gone a bit more potential popular player. I know we don't really have the ownership, but I've gone Aaron Clark as my dud of the week. Would have been popular, was an option in sort of that front row or second row area. Had been playing big minutes, only played 37 minutes for 42 points, which just wasn't going to cut it. And it was interesting. I think they really threw tried to throw something at the Panthers, and they brought on Tamari Martin to play that sort of lock middle role. He played 48 minutes. I don't think there was an injury to Clark as far as I saw, but yeah, a bit of a dud performance from him.
Jubes, I'm going even more rogue off run sheet here, but I'm introducing another new segment right now called What Did You Learn About NRL Supercoach Finals this week? And in terms of the game and the players you might need or want to hunt down, I've learned, Jubes, that role is just the most important thing. Like, look at Reece Walsh. The matchup was tough, obviously, Canberra away, but we saw the form that Walsh carried in, the role that he has within that team. Is just so important. You look at Cleary, look at Hudson Young for the Raiders, like the role. Eli Katoa. Like these guys are just with the great roles and just the ones. Cameron Munster, Friday night, he was obviously the dominant playmaker. So I just think you just really want to go after guys who have the hands on the ball. And obviously Walsh goal kicks as well. So he's got that safe floor. High floor, high ceiling combo is obviously great for any Supercoach player, but particularly in this format. I think it's critical because you want guys who aren't going to let you down but can go 100+. So
let's jump in straight into that Raiders game. Raiders v Broncos. Plenty of Supercoach relevant scores, but the Raiders looked like they had it absolutely wrapped up. I think we were already texting each other talking about that we didn't mind the Sharks going up to Queensland to play them up there. What happened in that last 20 minutes?
I think you have to put the whole game into context. Like, first half was a good first half. Like, Broncos obviously scored in the first few minutes. And then Canberra really got on top. They grinded up to a 12-6 lead initially. And then they sort of just played really well after that, I thought. And Brisbane took Haas off earlier than they usually would because they had a plan to bring him back on before halftime and then, I presume, to play him all the way through. But then he got injured at the back end of the first half, and Canberra scored again straight after half time. So, yeah, I thought Canberra played really, really well first half. They're big guys in the middle, and then their bench forwards did a great job for them as well. Brisbane played all right. Like they were, whenever they got a chance, they got down there well. Like, who scored that try in the corner? Mariner, to make it 12-all. It was 12-all at that point. That was Tamale, just complete misread. I don't know why he charged in. But, yeah, I just thought Canberra played really well, and then that obviously led into the second half.
Yeah, but I think, like, as you say, that was sort of the whole point part of the game. But when Ethan, like, so there was two sin bins. Yeah, then there was two sin bins. So Walsh, and who went for the raid?
Hudson Young
went. So
that was a debacle, though, that Hudson Young went to the bin.
Like, what did he even end up going for? Like,
because he said he got up in his unnecessarily got up in his grill, basically, and started the whole conflict. But he didn't headbutt him.
No, exactly. Getting someone's grill, get headbutted, sin bin.
Walsh won't get suspended for that, though, I'm pretty sure. I think that'll be grade one contrary conduct because he didn't hurt him or anything, just a bit of a nudge in the head.
Oh, I hope he doesn't. I mean, I was hoping he would when I thought he was going to play the Sharks, but now I hope he doesn't. I don't want him to be out for the prelim against likely the Panthers up there.
But at that point of the game, the Broncos were really struggling. Ben Hunt refused to give Reece Walsh the ball, and he was playing terribly, like so badly. He couldn't pass. He couldn't kick. Everything he was doing was going to shit.
Yeah.
And the Broncos were really struggling. Then they got out to, what did they get out to? 28.
No, so then Carrigan got sin-binned.
Carrigan got sin-binned
trying to lift him, trying to put on a hit. He's got Smithies on the chin. He's gone to the bin.
He will get suspended.
It just looked like the Raiders were, he will get suspended, yeah. Then it did look like the Raiders were just rolling through him. Simi Sasangi came off the bench, nearly made a line break. Then they went out to Ethan Strange, who went over, and the game just looked over at that point in time.
Yeah, so Weeks scored in the 53rd minute, then Strange scored in the 55th minute to make it 28-12.
Yeah.
And it was just game over. At that point, Carrigan was still in the bin. That was it. Game over. Like, so they had 10 minutes more of Carrigan in the bin, and that was when Walsh and Young were still in the bin for another 6 minutes as well. So, yeah, just crazy that they let them back into it. And Haas was injured. Haas came back on, but he'd obviously been needled.
Yeah. He went off because the game was over, and it was like they were, like, he was injured, but it was almost like he would have stayed off. But then when, like, Reece just came back on and changed the game.
Just Reece.
Reece just went into his element. Finally, Hunt started passing him the ball, or they were bypassing Hunt altogether. And Reece just absolutely tore them up on that left hand edge.
Yeah, the Raiders' right edge defense was just torn to ribbons. Cut to ribbons.
So, Karapani try. Who else? Shibasaki.
Shibasaki, 72nd minute. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
no, just, it went Walsh, Karapani, then Shiba. In seven minutes, three tries. I don't think you can't play rugby league as good as Reece Walsh was playing it for that period from the 65th minute mark onwards. That's just obscene.
No, but my main problem was I don't know. Like, I thought the Raiders, they didn't play it well. They went absolutely into their shell in attack.
Joke.
Like, they just, and then they just got, because they were getting steamrolled, then they were just, they're all gassed. Like, and so then they're just doing one-offs of rucks. Like, you can't necessarily pinpoint to completely blame someone like Fogarty, but they just looked directionless for the last 10 minutes when they just needed to keep playing their same game.
It honestly, and I think this is on Ricky a bit, it didn't help not having Tom Starling on. Like, Paddy did a couple of things which were okay, but he did lead to them not getting that shot in regulation. When it was
No, that was extra time.
Oh, sorry, in Golden Point. That was in Golden Point, yes.
Yeah, so that was, Paddy only came on in the second half of extra time.
Oh,
so
right.
So Ricky had left Starling on for 85 minutes at that point. So
okay.
I didn't mind the Paddy coming on at that point.
Yeah, okay, that makes
sense.
It
was
sense.
Really that last 10 to 15. They were just hoping to limp over the line.
And they nearly did. Get to the 80th minute and what happens? They bloody, Zach Hosking dives at Reece Walsh's leg. You can never be too hard because they're so fatigued.
No.
And all you're trying to do is just do the next thing you know how to do, and he's trying to make a tackle to finish the game.
Yeah. I mean, the Broncos are coming. They're like a horse that had just, like, led the whole way, and they're just legless. And
right,
they just stick their nose out and right on the line, like, and it went to a photo and they got beat. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, there's not much to say. It's good.
Well, the Jed Stewart, the Fogarty no try in Golden
that's
Point.
That's right. Yeah.
So like, everyone just thought it was a try.
We were going off, like, you were sending voice messages about Son of Ricky. I just thought Jed had just done unbelievable. I still think he did. Like, I mean, I know it is a knock-on. It is a knock-on.
Yeah.
Technically, but like he did everything he could to just whack it backwards, and it must have just got his pinky, just didn't get enough hand to it to actually hit it backwards.
I'm just very impressed as well that Ricky Stewart survived that. I presume he made it to the press conference. Like he was like hugging Tarpany after regulation, then he was up again after Fogarty scored. They must be so, like, how good for the Sharks to take that? Like, Sharks could definitely win that game next week now.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to get up mentally. I mean, I think they can.
And physically.
Yeah, like, and physically. 100 minutes. They play 94 minutes total in the end. Like,
on an extra day's rest. Sharks.
And a lot of their players played big minutes as well. A lot of their forwards had to end up, like, obviously massive they got minutes. A very good pack, but they needed to win that. Yeah, it'll be interesting. So from a super coach point of view, we obviously mentioned Hudson, like, who was just unbelievable from start to finish. I mean, apart from getting sin-binned, which was pretty controversial, scored the first try, set up the second both off the boot. He's had a 94 in 84 minutes. So he played the full game just with the sin bin. And so he's turned up without that sin bin as well.
He was unbelievable. Like, he's just a freak. Like, I knew he was going to come back today, but aside from Walsh, he was the best player on the park by a mile.
I think he's number one, like 100% locked in everyone's team next week as the second row forward. Like, I think you're right. Like, the role he has in that team is he's just like the ball dominant. Whenever they needed a lift, he's the main man, like, that basically has to do it.
I've just gone to NRL.com to see the fixtures, what days they're playing them on, and they've got Saturday 7:50 p.m., Bulldogs v Panthers, and then they've got Sunday 21st of September 4:05 p.m. Bulldogs v Panthers. So they're playing back to back days. Sharks Raiders is lovely. Raiders Sharks isn't happening. That'll be Sunday. Sharks Raiders will be Sunday.
No, it's not. It's not. I read before the game even started that because the Storm has to avoid the AFL Grand Final, the Storm has to play Friday night on the following week. So the loser of today's game was going to be on a 6-day backup. So they wanted to play Friday night, Saturday night, but they're likely going to play Saturday, Sunday next week. So it'll be a Saturday game. So it can be a Friday night game the following week. So it'll be Sharks Raiders, and then they'll play the following Friday night against the Storm, the winner of that game.
Right.
So it's a quick backup for Ricky.
Gotcha. So Saturday night,
Sharks Raiders next Saturday. Yeah. The only way is if they now are flipping out on that, like if they've put it up wrong. Yeah. But that was the chat before the game, planning wise, because they obviously need to avoid the AFL Grand Final for the Storm the following week.
It's got to be the greatest finals match. I know, like, you can never tell because you can't think of every game, but that has to be the greatest finals match of all time.
Well, and we've missed things too. So Walsh hit the crossbar from 40 out to tie it up, like before that as well, and it hit the crossbar and bounced back.
The commentators didn't know what to say. Ginnane was speechless. They couldn't say it. All it could think of was like, oh, it's 1989 all over.
Yeah, and then obviously Hoskins hit the leg. And it's just an automatic penalty goal in front, like in the last second. And then after the Jed Stewart to win the game, Hunt's gone down, kicked a field goal, and even he's hit the upright, and it's gone through the post just after hitting the upright. Like, it's just so many things, as you say. It's certainly the best finals game that I can remember. And I just couldn't imagine being a Raiders fan this afternoon.
Full credit to the Broncos. Like, they could win it now. If they get Reynolds back in place of Hunt, they've got to leave Billy Boy at 5'8".
Are they favourite? Are they close to favourite?
No, Storm are favourite. Storm are still favourite. Yeah, okay. Because Carrigan's going to be out as well, don't forget. And Haas's ankle, who knows? Like,
Haas will be fine with 2 weeks. He played out the game. Like,
I know he will be fine, but he's still like, he wasn't as effective.
True.
He's still going to update over 100.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay, so it is. Yeah, it's Saturday night. That's confirmed. Canberra, Cronulla, Sunday, Bulldogs, Penrith.
So the others that went well, I thought Horsburgh had a good game. He had 78 from a Supercoach point of view, played 71 minutes. I think he's probably not available in front row forward for next week.
He is.
So yeah. He'll be an interesting one for next week as well, front row forward. Joe Tarpany, as expected, played a bit more minutes, although that included the extra time. So he played 65 minutes and had a 75. Probably the spanner, I think you mentioned it before, Starley, interestingly enough, played 86 minutes straight. So he was going to just play the full 80 and he's at a 76. Yeah. So I probably can't take on Brayley next week, but certainly could be an option.
Maybe.
From the Broncos, Walsh, you mentioned 116, absolutely killed it. Stags had a very, very good game. He ended up being the high scoring center wing of the weekend with 103 with a try and a try assist. Which is probably a bit out of the woodworks. My boy Shibasaki, YGI, he's had that late try, ended up with an 85. So he was right up there for a center wing option for this week. Wasn't in my team, of course. And the highest scoring hooker off the round went to none other than Billy Walters.
Billy the Kid.
Billy the Kid. What's going on there? He played well.
He looks great. Maybe he's just been a 5'8 all this time. But this is what I've said this so many times. Like, you play 100 first grade games and you're going to get to a good level. Like, if you've got ability, which he clearly has some ability, right? But now he's got the games under his belt. He feels comfortable. And, you know, he's obviously got a lot of those games because his dad used to be the coach. But good on him. Like, he played great. Kangaroo Tour, number 14. Here we come.
Will be interesting what they do. I wouldn't be against them keeping Billy at 5'8".
They should.
Reynolds half and then bring Hunt off the bench.
Hunt hooker. Like,
yeah. Or Hunt hooker, yeah.
Hunt and Pax on the hooker rotation.
Yeah.
They're back. They're in business. Like, how good would that prelim be, Brisbane v Penrith?
They need to get Carrigan off, though. They're just a bit soft in the middle without Carrigan.
Their depth is a bit tested there, isn't it? So they'd have to play like, and Pierre Kura got injured as well.
Yeah.
He's gone. Yeah.
So that's pretty much it for that game from a Supercoach point of view. I think we flick back. Let's go back to the Storm Broncos. Storm Bulldogs. Storm Dogs kicked off the round, I thought it was a pretty good game, to be honest. I think the Dogs were right up for it and actually ended up being pretty unlucky. I think the score line flatters the for what the match actually was. You were out at the game. What were your thoughts?
Loved it. Great game. Dogs were so good. I thought like it was a little bit scrappy in the sense that there were a lot of errors from both teams. But I thought they both played really well. Like, it was a very, very tough game of footy. I think this is a bit tough on Dogs. Like, in another world, the Dogs go through here with no injuries and are really well set up for the comp, for the premiership. I think they're playing well. I just spoke to the Podfather today, and the Podfather's tidbit is just these sort of small ball teams like the Dogs, like, just get found out a little bit in finals. Like, you can't, it's harder to play that style of footy in finals. They just get bashed up a bit. But I thought they hung really tough. Like, Sexton looked good. Just Curran and Haywood was pretty average. And who's the other one I'm thinking of was terrible too? Oh, Kurt Mann.
Man, oh my God. Yeah.
He was a disgrace, really. I think he cost them the game.
I was going to say, like, it's not just this. I think the small ball forward, they can get a little bit found out. But I also thought that just way too much, like, and I know they've been doing it all year, but way too much getting people like Kurt Mann the ball in the middle, like, just not getting their halves the ball like early enough. Gavin, I know there was a bit of joke going around social media that they almost were trying to not pass Gavin the ball, but like, Gavin didn't get his hands on the ball early enough in a lot of sets, and I felt that people like Mann had a bit too much control, like in important situations, and obviously he didn't play well at all.
Yeah. I'd love to see the Dogs go with a setup of Sexton halfback, Galvin 5'8", and then Burton and Crichton in the centers. Burton,
I think they could
like that. I think that's like, Burton was great when he got moved to center because he can still do the long kicking on the left side, and he's a natural ball runner. He scored a great try.
Well, Crichton's confirmed gone, and then Sexton's going to France. So I don't think we'll see that full setup. But I do think that I wouldn't be shocked if next week that they're lining up Sexton half, Galvin 5'8", and Burton on that left center to cover for Crichton. Because Tuala's gone as well. They've got no
wingers. Yeah, no centers, no wingers. And also Montoya's gone. Rinnakama's injured and Kiraz is injured. Like they're both, Rinnakama's in doubt. So like, I don't know what they're going to do. Blake Wilson will be back, I'd say. And they're going to have to come up with something creative.
Most of the super coach came on the Storm side. I mean, for someone that laid ECAT, him going over in the first, 5-10 minutes, you just knew he was in for a big night. I mean, obviously once he'd scored a try, but he was just involved in absolutely everything for them.
Freak. Absolute freak. He could have had 150 easily. Like he got tackled, like nearly making another couple of line breaks. Just what a superstar.
Munster 94 in 80 minutes. And as you said before, just a role. Like, I mean, everyone always says Munster's a big game player, but like he just stepped up for the Storm realistically. Like he just got involved in everything. He had to go to fullback at one point.
He played fullback, he played halfback, he played 5'8", he played front row, and he played lock all in the same game. He was taking hit ups one off the ruck and carrying blokes. I can't believe how strong he is. Like, you know, he's a big, strong guy, but he's an obscene rugby league player.
Do they get Hughes back for the prelim, or is Hughes
he's pushing,
gone?
No, he's pushing too. He's got a broken arm. So
yeah,
but he's also got a bung shoulder on the same arm.
But
I'm pretty sure.
So. They'll definitely get Pappy back. You would think, and
Blore's the one that they could use back as well. He really plays a good role on that edge there for him.
Yeah, although good try from Lasati, where he ran over the top of Galvin and
bumped
off Preston. Yeah.
Off the production line.
Just another production line weapon. The one that was probably worth mentioning, he's been Jono's boy the back end of the season, and he's ended up being the highest scoring front row pre-updates. Haas will probably overtake him. Stefano Utukamanu. He hasn't even had a try assist or a try. He's had a try contribution, but he's just done that in all base plus power pretty much.
I was thinking about it the game, like, what is this, like a Bellamy thing? Like, he just held him back through the first bit of the year, just held him back, pushed him into Origin. Because from all reports, Bellamy was very keen on him to play Origin.
He did have a good Origin selection.
Yeah. But since then, he's a new player. Like, he's found all his aggression, his work rate's up. And, like, has Bellamy just gone, mate, this is it now? It's like, let the dog off the leash, so to speak.
Okay. He's done this in 90 and 54 minutes. I don't know super coach isn't the be on end all for a front row, but he certainly passes the eye test. Like, he looks very good, and he's offloading. Not, I wouldn't say at will, but he's certainly offloading quite a lot.
I think he's the pin-up boy for super coach scores do matter.
Yeah.
Like, his correlation between playing well and playing poorly directly correlates with his super coach output. And
yeah.
This is by far the best form he's shown in at least 3 years.
Will Warbrick was the other good score in the game from them, which was an 88, finishing off with that intercept try that pushed the score out to Dogs at Storm by 8. He was a bit up and down, really. I think he made two very early errors that all looked pretty costly, but yeah.
He was great as well.
He looked good in the second half.
Brick had a great last 20 minutes. Great last 20 minutes. He was a little bit sloppy. He's still just finding his feet a bit. You know, he's coming back from that really bad long layoff with concussion. But he's a great player too. Joy to watch.
I'm just looking. So Kiraz had 87. Like you weren't dying by your center wing selection this weekend.
No.
Like basically all the options went well or well enough. That's for sure. So Kiraz 87. My boy who I picked at 5'8". Lane Munster was Burton, 81. I think we spoke about that. I thought he looked very good in the centres. And he's, as you say, I think that could be a role that he plays next week, especially still having his kick. Now, the interesting one, we're talking pre-pod, Tracy's had 67. He's had one try assist. He could be the number one fullback next week in a week where it's KO weeks, Will Kennedy, Connor Tracy and Dylan Edwards. They're your four options.
Well, it won't be. Well, Edwards will be number one, but yeah. by a mile.
But Connor Tracy, he's
definitely,
for the pod.
I'll give him this. He's definitely ahead of Will Kennedy.
Yeah. He probably
we'll
ahead
get to it in a minute, but,
too,
but even
we'll
Will had his best game of the season, I reckon. Just about.
Yeah. Kick out 76 with a fractured ice socket after going off for must have been 15 minutes. I think it was a HIA check. So he played 65. He's had 76 with a try assist and a try contribution. Very good, Billy. Now, I was just following NRL Physio, friend of the show, earlier on Twitter, and he's saying that Gould's also tweeted that it looks like he's been cleared to play, even though he's got a fractured eye socket. So we'll see how that plays out for the week ahead.
Yeah, well, hopefully he does, because, I mean, the Dogs are already massively up against it as it is.
Should be good, though. They keep saying it'll be sold out next week. The Dogs will get up for it. They just might not have enough cattle on the park against the Panthers. Yep. All right. Let's, speaking of next week, let's jump into the second segment of the show, which we are keeping coming into Supercoach Finals week two, and that is our Ready to Explodes. Matt, who you got for the RTE for next week?
Well, we were saying pre-pod that there's really only one team to go after here for the Ready to Explodes, and that's Penrith Panthers, who we're also going to talk about in a minute against their win over the Warriors. But my Ready to Explode is a guy who I own this week, and that's Brian Toto, a.k.a. Big Bad Brian, a.k.a. BBB. He played left wing, so I think when that happened, the Shrewdies all picked him up, because obviously that's been a goldmine for Tommy Jenkins. Alamotti shifted right. Look.
Are you counting yourself in that Trudy bandwagon?
No, because I already owned him pre that. I already had it. I put him, if you saw my team up, my content around putting my team reveal out tubes, you would have known that. Although even though I did make one or two changes from that reveal, I did already have Big Bad Brian. He never left my team. So, he obviously scored a lucky intercept try. I'm hoping he gets an update for a try assist for that. Who scored that other try? Casey?
Yeah, Casey.
Yeah, I don't think he will, but surely Nathan. Oh, anyway, we'll get back to that in a minute. Big Bad Brian versus the Dogs. Great matchup. I think he'll be very highly owned next week.
Yeah, my Ready to Explode is from the same game, and we've already mentioned him. I just can't go past. Everyone's going to own Dylan Edwards next week. That Dogs team depleted. He's the clear number one fullback option. He had a quiet game this week, but in a game it's probably going to be a bit of a grind, but then it could certainly open up late. I think that Dylan Edwards will be primed and ready to go. He's obviously a big game player himself, Clive Churchill medalist. I think he's coming off the back of a 45 this week, and he will be out there to show them what's what. Interestingly as well, he kicked a couple of goals this week.
Yeah, what was up with that?
So I think Cleary maybe he's just got a bit of a niggle in that groin or something. Yeah. We'll, a bit more to come, but certainly if he's kicking a few goals next week, there could be a few to kick. So yeah, I've got Dylan Edwards as my Ready to Explode.
Nice one. Yeah, I think Panthers are going to be there'll be three Panthers in every Supercoach's team next week.
Quick, we'll get through this one a bit quicker. Warriors v Panthers. It was a pretty good game. Sort of felt like the Warriors could have been the better team, but it just always felt like the Panthers had it in hand. Like Nathan Cleary's just too good.
Yeah, I think that's a fair summary. Oh, like the Warriors, what a great season. Like they started on fire. They were top four all year, basically. They lost Metcalf. They lost Mitch Barnett. They lost a few others as well along the way. They basically had, you know, severe injuries every week, and they just kept turning up. And they turned up again. Like they started really well, and they were in this for a long, long time. It was really that Toto intercept that just broke the game wide open, unfortunately, because I think it was 12-8 at that point. And Toho got away, and then obviously then Casey went over later to seal it. So
no, it was the opposite, wasn't it? It was, either way,
whatever it was, I can't remember. That was probably the game I saw the least of, but it rained at the start of the game as well.
Two pretty lucky tries that sort of put it away for the Panthers in the end.
The scoreline flattered Penrith. It was closer than 24-8. There's no doubt about that.
the top scorer for the Warriors was my boy Lika Halasima. He started left center, had a try, two line breaks. He's just a beast. Like
Rookie
I can't
of the year?
Wait to. I think so. Like he must be close.
There's him. There's one other I think in contention. Yeah, I can't think.
I don't know. I hope he gets it. He's been unbelievable all year.
You'd want him to have a good season to beat Lekker.
Yeah. Charles Nickel Klukstad, 73. He was probably the safe option.
Surely no one don't Waz.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so. But that was pretty much it. I was interested in Jackson Ford, who ended up with a 59, but he was only available in front row forward, not second row. So he's had 59, 68 minutes. But yeah, all about really the Panthers. Cleary, who both you and I laid, he's had a quiet game and he's had 85, but I think he's ended up getting a controversial try assist. So we're still waiting for updates to come in to see what happens there.
He has to lose that try assist. There's just no, and I've spoken to people who own him and say he has to lose it as well. Like he was putting in a kick from his 20 meter line to try and gain ground. And the balls just bounced crazily, and I can't even remember who came through and picked it up. Was it Blaze or?
Liam Henry?
Liam Henry. Like, it just...
And then he's passed it to Blaze.
And then Blaze has kicked it again. Then Big Bad Bryan's picked it up, and then Big Bad Bryan's offloaded.
He's busted two tackles and offloaded to Casey.
They always give that offload a try assist. Like, I just don't understand it. So I think Cleary is the fourth most deserving of a try assist, maybe third in that play.
Yeah, third. I don't think Liam Henry's deserving of a Cleary. But either way, I think he'll keep it, and I don't think he should, but I just think he will because they've just been so consistent all year that it doesn't matter why or how. If a try comes off a kick, the initial kicker gets a try assist. I do think that there will be an update, and it'll either go to Blaze or it'll go to Brian. I don't think all three of them can get a try assist.
Well, if Brian can stink this, then I'm in. If I can get Cleary to lose it and Brian to get it, then I am flying in the overall.
True, because it's actually a 36-point swing. Sorry, more than that, but 36-point because a lot of people captained Cleary that are up the top.
Cleary's effective ownership would have been about 220%, I reckon. And effective ownership, if you've never heard that term before, it's an EPL term, but basically it means how many people own them with captaincy included. So if you own Cleary, your effective ownership of Cleary is 300%. But then his actual ownership was 87%, and then you multiply that by how many people would have captained him. So it would have been well over 200%. So it's a huge swing. And that's the reason why I didn't own him, because I thought he's so popular that if I can just get him to go sub 50 somehow, obviously that's unlikely, I'm going to be way ahead here in the game, and just sort of a bit of your favorite topic, Tubes, bit of game theory.
Baller Projections had him projecting 88. He's ended up with an 85.
Yeah.
And he's a tough man to get beat. I laid him too, and you just can't get him beat. That's sort of the
few disappointing nuts of it. Few disappointing Panthers, Tubes. Just looking through their back line, Deadwoods 45, Casey McLean 40, Blaze 38.
Blaze
they were
was
all pretty popular.
Mm. Yeah, Blaze was definitely popular. Casey McLean 40 with a try as well. He was definitely a popular option. I went a bit off the Panthers late when you told me, literally 2 minutes ago. I kept Brian To'o with that left edge, but once you told me it was pouring rain, like it just wasn't going to be a big Super Coach game for anyone realistically.
No,
and that's how it ended up. All right, the not final game, but our final review game of the round is we've left it till last, and that's our Sharks, the 20-10 winners over the Roosters. I feel like the commentary out of this game was that it was a very sloppy game, and that the Sharks, whether people saying lucky to win it, but as if like they've sort of limped past. I thought the Sharks played extremely, extremely well. They dominated through the middle against a very hard and big Roosters pack. And I think that the Roosters were a sneaky chance of going through. Like, I think they had one of the harder sort of matchups for the weekend, and I thought they played well.
Roosters were one of the form teams, if not the form team, coming into the finals, probably behind Brisbane. I agree. The commentary, and even through the game, Greg Alexander was like Roosters cheerleading. Why does Greg Alexander cheer for the Roosters? Braith and Cooper were cheerleading on the halftime panel. I don't know. Anyway, Sharks started on the back foot. Like, you were apoplectic sending messages through. Like, and it's a bit unlike you and me. We're not really big ref bashers, but you were getting stuck into Toddy Smith. They were on the back foot for the first 20 minutes. Then they really grinded back into it well because kind of started going set for set. They did score a very, very lucky try on halftime, which should never have been a try.
Yeah, Marky Mark slipping over. Rocks or diamonds, Marky Mark? No. His rocks.
Not that one. The one where Jesse Ramian stripped it off Swarker and then it hit Swarker's foot. It should have been a knock-on against Ramian.
Yes, true. They were both pretty lucky. Both are Ronnie's tries, realistically.
And then they made the break. And then they Billy Burns, very clever Billy, always liked Billy, got tackled a meter out. And then they went the hard shift left, and Trindle made Marky Mark look stupid as well. They're like, that was a terrible, I don't know what Marky was doing. But I thought Sharks were lucky to be up by 8 at half time, but I thought they played really, really well second half.
Yeah. For me, the big turning point, there was two turning points. One was when Sifa Talakai came on, I think in about the 30th minute. Like, the Sharks were just on the back foot. AFB didn't have his best first stint. And there was penalties, and it sort of just couldn't really get into the game. Sifa came on and basically changed the game for the Sharks. Mm. Like, he just got us on rolling, got us onto the front foot, got us moving. He had a good 10 minutes leading into halftime. He was okay for the first 5 minutes, but again, the Roosters were just on top. But then both him and who's the other one that I'm trying to think of? The
Hamuelo?
No.
Or Oregon?
Oregon Kafusi. So him and Oregon Kafusi, after all that defense after the second half, they were gassed.
Oh, yeah.
And
when
so
they
made
off.
The double change, Talakai and Kafusi for AFB and Nigra. And those two then came back on and just swung all the momentum back into the Sharks' favor. AFB was immense in that second stint. I actually owned him from a super coach perspective. He only had 51 in 60 minutes, but I thought his influence on the game in that second half was much bigger. He just started rolling them forward again, and then that ended up leading to the Rudolph try, which obviously was just, it was for a Sharks fan that has never really loved James Tedesco, it was icing on the cake.
If the Sharks can play like that, I think they have to. I think that specific game style really suits them because we've got such a great bench. Like, all the guys we're bringing on through the middle, like Hamlin Welle is not really the same player, but aside from it, all our middles are really good. So I think if we can keep game style like that, make it pretty tough, try and keep it in the middle as much as possible. It's a shame McInnes is out, but in one respect it isn't, because we do get a bit more thrust through the middle, so to speak, when he's not out there. But yeah, I there's no reason why Cronulla can't beat Brisbane if Walsh turns up in the same form.
No, Canberra.
Oh my god! I was so zoned in. I was so set on us playing Brisbane.
I think the Raiders, I'm not 100% saying we're going to win, but where they're kryptonite, the Raiders pack is so strong, and the Sharks pack is so strong, they nullify that. Like, as in, I think it'll be a really good game in Canberra next week. And I feel pretty confident as a Sharks fan, for coming into it.
Omens-wise, the Adelaide Crows went out in straight sets, finishing first tubes, and we could see the Raiders suffer the same fate.
Which would be exciting.
Would
be. So Ronnie had a 91. He could definitely be an option for next week against the Raiders, particularly on
that right edge
that we saw get absolutely dominated at the end of the game. Obviously, it's pretty Sharks' probably strongest side too, with Kaoliro. He's had a bit of a quieter game. He only had a 45, but still very involved. Just a quieter game from a super coach point of view.
Do you reckon he's dropped a few kilos? He looks not quite as big as when he left.
Yeah, well, he had a pec injury, so he couldn't bench.
Yeah,
hasn't been able to bench press. Right. So he's definitely, but he would have lost some muscle. You can't have a pec injury mid-season and not lose.
Good call.
The other one was Brayley. He was the other option versus Harry Grant. He'll be the number one hooking option next week. of the four teams, you would think, and he had a 69 in 80 minutes, which I think is a bit disappointing given he had a try assist, line break assist as well for Toby Rudolph's try.
Yeah, it's just one of those games. He made heaps of tackles. He actually got hurt at one point. He got a whack in the head or his ear or something. But yeah, I mean, he needs the attack, Blake. And they've kind of gone away from that Brayley ball a bit in recent weeks, which we saw sort of for that 6 week stretch. So it'd be interesting to see what happens from here. But yeah, I think you could take Brayley on without like a, you know, there's just no options. Is there Starling? It's about it. Can't get Kenny or Summerton or Bailey Hayward.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, well, you could have Starling. I mean, if Ricky plays him 80 minutes again, but we'll
I think you just got to go Brayley.
You just lock in Brayley. Yeah. Nico Hines, you and I both owned him, given we laid Cleary. I captained him. Disappointing, but I wasn't really, as I said, thinking too much about Supercoach at the point of view. I thought he played a decent NRL game. I don't think it was one of his best games. And certainly the commentators, like, they must just get told to bag Nico. They weren't necessarily bagging him, but, like, he didn't play bad, but they were giving him backhanders. Oh, Britt Trindle was the dominant half tonight. It's just the way the game went. Like, yeah. And he's just, and so he stepped into that role where he ran it a bit more. And obviously Trendle played a very good game for him.
I got very frustrated with Nico at one point, only because he decided, it looked like it was his decision to take the two when they're up 12-10. And then after they did that, he then dropped the ball on halfway, like just out. And I was like, oh, this. But yeah,
there was not many more people angry in the world than I was at that point in time when they took the two, he dropped it. And then, about 2 minutes later, the Roosters threw a forward pass and they were able to challenge it. And it got overturned because Trindle tackled someone off the ball.
Dropped
and
the shoulder unnecessarily.
Jono was trying to correct us in our WhatsApp group as to why it was the right call. And they were able, and I just had to do a voice memo and just let loose on him. I was so angry.
I love how Jono can't accept that during the Sharks games that it's a Sharks channel. Like, just stay out of it, Jono. Don't get involved.
We don't need logic. We do not need logic in that channel during a Sharks final. Like, But, like, I was very aggressive in that voice memo. I had to send him a message saying apologizing afterwards. And the best was, he goes, I haven't even listened to it yet because I'm watching the game with people.
That's so good.
But, yeah, so not much more to talk about on the Shark side. Obviously, the Roosters, who are now out, Nwanga Nituase was immense again. The second highest center wing outside of Stags with a 97, and that's pre-updates. I wouldn't be shocked if he had some updates with his tackle breaks. And James Tedesco, I mean, he only had a 78, but what you said before, picking players based on their role, like, he was just involved in everything.
He could have had if in a different night, he could have had 150 easy. Like, there was even that time, I think he dropped a clean, he was through clean. Oh, Crichton popped him the pass because I own Crichton, he had a 74. He popped in the pass and Teddy just dropped it and he was clean through, which I was obviously very happy about as a Sharks fan. But there was a few instances like that for Tedesco. I thought Sammy Walker had a terrible game.
Yeah, he made a couple of crucial errors and he just sort of didn't really lead them around the park. Like I said, they sort of had to rely on Tedesco a fair bit more. But, I mean, the Sharks were putting a fair bit of pressure on him. And I think that's pretty much all she wrote. Like, we could keep talking about it, but the Roosters are gone and the Sharks move on.
You beauty.
All right, Matt. There's probably not much more to spruik. Tuesday show, I'm assuming someone's doing this week. And we march on into the NRL finals.
Yep. Can't wait for Tuesday. Just a few more weeks left. It's going to be good. We'll keep going. This was pretty fun, Tubes. Like, I thought it was going to be a tough Sunday snap this week. Just like, I was a bit like, oh, Supercoach, this is a bit of a, you know, it's a bit of a hit and giggle postseason. But the pod's been great. And yeah, now that I'm actually, I've just only realized that I'm kind of in it. So now I've got to
go and try
and win it.
You've what'd you finish overall in the end? 23rd. So I think you can better that now off that start. Bit of game theory.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, get into the Discord, baller.live/discord, or find it on our links on our website, baller.live. You'll be able to find it there. Or if not, just hit us up on social media.
You beauty!